Somehow, I don't really feel like what I have to share is real. Like a lot to share. Somehow it turned out being like a 4-page outline. How does that work? Maybe I'll just read it. Let's read this morning. Okay. Are we ready? As far as the sound goes. Okay. And let us turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. Second Kings chapter 6. And this story is talking about the sons of the prophets. Sons of the prophets, also called the school of prophets. School of prophets. I never looked into these guys too much, but apparently school of prophets was just that school people went to seek the Lord and maybe be prophets. There's no definite verse for sure to say who rose the school or schools up, but Samuel was mentioned as the first one to be an overseer of one, and he probably was the one to start school of the prophets. And the school of the prophets, I believe, continued on from Samuel's time to all the way through the end of the Old Testament. And it was a place where people would go and live together to seek the Lord, to know the Word, to write songs. Music was a part of it. I thought it was something I could eat. it was a little disappointing, actually. Okay. Oh, man. Because I'm so used to people just leaving treats here while I'm preaching. It was a place where people go because it was of their own free will to really seek the Lord. And, you know, being a prophet isn't something that you just say, hey, I'm going to be a prophet because I'm going to school, you know. But the prophets, they weren't just guys who all of a sudden out of nowhere, I believe this, God said, you shall be a prophet. And just completely taken out of like a carnal worldly existence, and now they're just saying the word of the Lord. They were people who were in tune with the Lord, in tune with the Spirit. They knew the word, you know, they knew the law. They knew the law enough to know when God spoke to them concerning his people, they knew, you know, how they were doing in relation to the word of the Lord. And they were not just like a tube through which the word of God came, I believe. I believe there was more than that. There was spiritual maturity there, you know. So this school is where people would come to really seek the Lord, to know the Lord, to know the word, to be in tune with the Spirit and those kinds of things. Anyway, here in 6:1 it says, and the sons of the prophets. Sons of the prophets. And this word sons, you know, I don't believe any word in the Bible is put there by accident. I believe they're all full of extreme significance. And I don't do this as much anymore. I actually just open other books and research things. But in the beginning, I would just look at a word and be like, I know that means something of the Lord. And I'll just like strain over, you know, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early. Okay, Lord, what is that? Because he's rising early. And that's got to be powerful. And I would, you know, and probably half try to make stuff up in my head. So rising early, resurrection in the morning. on the third day somehow. But, you know, part of that was my just getting in tune. Antennas getting in tune with the Holy Spirit. But it says, and the sons of the prophets. So, why does it say sons, Lord? Sons. It's the word sons. Because you don't really get the impression that they're the actual prophet's children. You know, like biological sons. But they're sons. They're the sons of the prophets. Son, the definition of this word son that's used here is a builder of the family name. Builder of the family name. If you were to pronounce it in the Hebrew, it's pronounced Ben. It's spelled B-E-N. That's not what I'm getting at, but I was like, oh, this is so the Lord now. But that's what this word means, sons here. A builder of the family name. Sons of the prophets. Ephesians 3:14 and 15 says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole family in heaven and earth is named. These guys, they weren't builders of their own names. They weren't coming to be builders of their own prophetic ministry. They were builders of the family name. You know, that's what they were giving their lives to. Not themselves. I love, this isn't totally the direction I'm going with this, but it was what Mallory shared. You know, they weren't as sons. They weren't coming to build their own name, coming to build themselves up. They were coming together for something greater, for the Lord, for the name of the Lord, for the name of the Lord. And, you know, in the Old Testament, there's so many verses that they're all over. There's tons of them in the Psalms where it talks about, you know, for thy name, for thy name's sake, for the glory of thy name, you know, and there's so much emphasis on just the phrase, the name, that thy name be not blasphemed. And, you know, I've always read those, it's like, what's the deal with the name? Is God just like really incredibly fond of his name? You know, like, I know he goes, there's a lot of names, and some of us have taken the names of God class, and we know all those names, but, you know, you think of the Shakespeare thing, how's it, you know, rose by any other name. It's just as sweet, you know. And the point being, what's in a name? If you call it a dog, it's still a rose. It's still beautiful. It still smells like a rose, you know. So what's the deal with the name, Lord? Why is it so special? What's the deal? Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 8. And this is going to switch gears a little bit. Not this part right here, but part of what this is doing is just kind of building an atmosphere of this sons of the prophets and what was going on there. And what the deal with the floating axe head is about, partly. Here in Solomon's chapter 8, 1 Kings chapter 8, 8:13. It says, I have surely built thee an house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. A settled place. You know, before this, the ark, the dwelling place of God was always moving. You know, for 40 years in the wilderness, it moved with the Israelites. God's habitation wandered right along with them. It was always moving. Even when they crossed into the land, I think it stayed at Shiloh for a while, and then, I don't know the whole order, it was taken by the Philistines for a while, and their God that they put before it fell, and then they sent it back on a cart, and then you have the story where David was bringing it in, and then Uzzah, I think, put his hand on it to cause it to be still, and he died, and so that freaked David out, and he left it at that guy's house. Some dude's house that was, like, nearby. And then when he saw that guy got blessed, he was like, oh, well, you know what? Hey, bring it to my house. they brought it in, and then you have, you know, Zion and the Tabernacle of David and all that. And here in Solomon's heart, he says, I have built thee an house to dwell in, a settled place. A settled place. A place where the ark finds rest now. With this, and he says, a place for thee to abide in forever. That now you have found your place where you're never going to move from again. Well, we know that Solomon's temple wasn't that historically. It's not there anymore. Neither is the ark, right? So this is speaking of something in the spirit. Something in the spirit. And Solomon, as a son himself, a son of David, his father, he built that house. You know, the son built the house. The son, the, you know, Jesus said a greater than Solomon is here. He's referring to himself. The greater son, Jesus, built a house for to be the habitation of God, where he would rest and abide in forever. And that house is us. You know, we as living stones are built up to be a spiritual house, a habitation of God in the spirit. Revelation says, you know, behold the tabernacle of God with men. So that's the forever house. That's the real temple. That's the glorious house that hit, that the Lord is, he's abiding in forever. Okay. And then it goes on here, speaking of this house. Verse 16, since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build a house, that my name might be in it. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. Here goes this name thing. You know, now this is connected with the house, the settled place where God is going to abide in forever. That's pretty significant. And now this is Solomon saying this, but he's speaking as the word of the Lord here. This is the Lord saying this. And it's all bound up with his name. And it was in the heart of David, my father, to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David, my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build an house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son, who shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house unto my name. And the Lord hath performed his word which he spoke, and I am risen up in the stead of David, my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. So here you have this house built, and it is completely bound up with the name, for the name, for the name, unto my name. So, this name, this word name, means the Hebrew word is Shem, and it implicates honor, authority, and character. Name of the Lord. It's his name there. He's saying to build a house for my honor, my authority, and my character. This is where my name is to be in this house. Where am I honored? I'm honored in this house, you know. I grew up going to Catholic church, and one thing that you did when you walked into a Catholic church was you honored the place, you know. I mean, you being a Catholic church with 1,000 people and 100 of them are kids, and you don't hear sound, you know. Part of that's probably the 100-foot-high ceilings, you know, and the stained glass windows, and it's like such a stark contrast to everything else in your life when you're just like, oh my God. You know, there's the priest with the robe up there, and you know. But that was a place, you know, where it was just like, okay, this is God's house, you know, that's how it was presented. At home is where I be naughty, and here is where I honor the Lord. Right? Sinning outside of the church. In the church, we're holy, you know. Well, we as that house, Christ is always to be honored. You know what I mean? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? You know, Paul was speaking that to the Corinthians in relation to some of their conduct. They weren't honoring themselves as a habitation of God. You know, I mean, these Jews, if we, now let's just think about it. Let's just say that we didn't know anything about Christ and your God dwelling in us. And someone was like, there's a tent over there and God lives in it. He is in there. I mean, dude, I'd know. I'd be like, oh, are you serious? Wow. And I can, like, go near it, kind of, and, you know, or you could be a priest. You know, imagine just the incredible, I don't know, I would say thrill or whatever the feeling would be of the priest who on the Day of Atonement actually went into the Holy of Holies. Talk about honoring the Lord, honoring the tabernacle of the Lord. I mean, he was just, you know, can you imagine? We are that house. We are that house. My God, Lord, would you please open my eyes to that more? You know, if I can just think about how amazing it would be to go in some tent, the presence of God is there. Well, he's in me now. You know, man, I'm sure there's a lot more to honoring the Lord, but honor, authority, he's the head of the family. He has the last word. He is the authority. He is to rule. He's to sit on the throne. He is to, and where? In his house. It's a house unto his name. His character, divine nature, you know, his character. This, his house is a place where his character is to reside. This is now, I'm talking about the purpose of this house being built. You know, of the house that's for this name, and we're saying this in relation to the sons of the prophets. The builders of the family name. The name that they're going about to build isn't mass tracking, isn't getting on blowhorns and saying Jesus, isn't writing as much stuff as possible and sending it to the entire world. You know what I mean? That's not how they're building the family name. No. They are the house. I mean, this is, we are the house. How do we build the family name? We know Jesus. We honor Jesus. We seek for his authority to be established in us. His mind, not our mind. His ways, not our ways. His character, not our character. That's how we build his name. It's to be a living testimony, not a written testimony. Living testimony of Christ. That's a son. It's a son by Christ. The son, whom we're all sons by, that's how he lived. I mean, Jesus didn't come and like start a ministry, you know, or a big work or anything. He showed his father. You know what I mean? I mean, that was, I mean, you know, that was his ministry on this earth, to do the will of his father, to show forth the life of his father, to honor his father. He was completely subject to his father's authority. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the father in my character, in everything about me. That's my ministry. I have, you know, he says, Lord, I've shown them your name. And he says that one part. And I know I'm not quoting it just right. It's like, you know, your name I've declared unto them. How did I declare it? Through my life, through them being around me. I have magnified your name. I have lifted your name up. I have, you know, built your name. I'm a son. I'm a builder of the family name. So back in 2 Kings 6 now. Doing all right there, Mike? 2 Kings 6. And the, well, let me see. Let me look through my chapter 2 of my notes here. All right, 2 Kings 6:1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elijah, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too small for us. It's too small for us. So here's the heart of these sons. The place where we dwell with thee is too small. It's not enough room. It's not enough room for Jesus. We want more. We want growth. We want there to be more. You look down the line through sons, you see John the Baptist saying, he must increase, I must decrease. You know, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Paul says that you may increase with the increase of God. Jesus' mission was to bring forth much fruit, not to be an only seed, but to increase. And here are these sons, the place we dealt with thee is too small for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto the Jordan, and take there every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go. Now these sons, they understand that if there's going to be increase, they're going to have to go to Jordan, and they're going to have to take every man a beam. Right? A Jordan is the place of identification with Christ in his death and resurrection. You know, again, their understanding isn't, well, we just need to do more, do this. No, we need to go the way of the cross. We want there to be increase. This is not enough. This place where we dwell with thee, it's not big enough. We need there to be increase. Let us go down to Jordan. Let us live this. Let's get this reality in us more. And take every man his beam, and we'll all be doing it together. You know, this was a group thing. It was a family thing. Take every man, everyone take up your cross, follow Jesus, right? You know, and they're all going there together, and Elisha goes with them. And now when it's a group thing and things are getting bigger and everything, it can be exciting. You know, we are going to Jordan, giving our lives for Jesus. We're going to know Jesus. This is great. Man, things are happening. They're going to be expanding. You know, we're taking up our cross and following Jesus. We're knowing him in this way. So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down wood. When you come to the Jordan, that place of identification, that's where the axe meets the root. You know, that's where you apply it. You know, it's not just a place of talking about doctrines there. We want things to happen. We want there to be real life. And, you know, they all start laying the axe to the root, taking ground for the Lord, falling trees and all this stuff. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. Now, I don't know about you, but for a long time, I've read this story and just been like, what is the deal beyond it just being like a weird miracle, you know? Where is Jesus in the story? What is the deal with the axe head floating, you know? Besides it being like, wow, that's impossible and it happened because it's written in the Bible. Well, I believe God can do anything then. So great. You know, no, I want to see Jesus in this. What is the deal with this thing here? You know, and there's a lot of things I read in the Bible, and I just kind of like, they're always kind of there, even though I'm not like necessarily thinking about all of them. Where it's just like, Holy Spirit, what is the deal there? What is that about? What are you saying? And sometimes he shows me a little bit about it. As one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. First of all, this tree that's supposed to make the house, right? This tree, it's a tree, it's by the Jordan, but it sucks its life out of the earth, right? It's a living organism that's connected to the earth. It draws its life from the earth, and if it's going to become part of the new house that they're building, it has to be cut down. The axe has to be laid to the root of that thing, right? It's got to be severed from that, you know? And that's what they're doing. We are severing the ways that we're drawn from the earth, that we're drawn from the old creation, you know? The old way, we are cutting those things down. And so this guy, he's with them, and everyone's cutting down their axe, and the atmosphere is just great. And his axe head flies into the water, and it was borrowed. You know, now one thing is iron was not a common metal, so it was probably really expensive, right, in this time in Israel. It's probably really expensive, and he's freaked out, which probably suggests that he's poor. He didn't have the money to just go replace it. Point being, it's not his. And flies into the River Jordan, right? And now he's in a position here where his tree is still standing. He doesn't have anything to cut it down with. And everyone else around him probably looks like they're doing really good. You know? And all of a sudden, he's like, he feels like this loser. You know? My tree is here just mocking me. You know? It's basically like an unloaded gun. You know? I have a handle without an axe head attached to it. And the head of the axe, it's in the water. It's never, you know, it's sunk on the bottom. I'm powerless to cut this tree down. Everyone else around me looks to me like they're doing great. You know, they're cutting their trees down. You know, they're about the Lord's work. And I'm just here like in my shame. Now, have you ever been that person? You feel like it's apparent to everybody sometimes. Like my tree is just looming over me. I'm just under the shadow of this thing. You know, and you hear like in the background other trees going, and you're just like, oh. You know, your tree is still, and you're just like, my God, why did I come to do this? This isn't working out. You know, I'm a failure. I'm failing again. I'm just this tree. I'm never going to get it cut down. I'm not going to have anything to add. You know, I'm part of this whole thing here, but secretly, it's not working for me. It's not working out. I'm part of this, you know, fun thing. We're the sons of the prophets, and we're going to go build a bigger place here. But you kind of like have this secret thing. You know, you're just under the shadow of the oak, the mighty, you know. And it's just like, man, pretty soon they're going to look over here. And, you know, the guy's going to see I lost his axe head. And they're all just going to be shaking their head at me. And I'm going to be found out, you know. And, you know, man, my gosh. You know. Oh. What's going to come of this? He says, alas, master, I must confess, it was borrowed. I was just kind of going along with the crowd, I guess. You know, what I had and was trying to use to cut down this tree, it actually belonged to somebody else. And what they said and, you know, the sharpness of their axe, like, was great. And when I saw them cutting down their tree, it was like, yeah, that's the truth. But when I tried to, like, use it myself, it just flies off into the Jordan, and I'm left with nothing. You know, I'm left with nothing. You know, the environment can be a good environment spiritually. And it can be easy to just ride that thing. You know, it can be. But God knows how to let these axe heads just fly right off. You know what I mean? He doesn't want, you know, because if you're his son by Christ, he doesn't want you going on any false pretense. He doesn't want you riding coattails. He doesn't want you just going with the strength of the body. I mean, that there is a good part of that, but I'm talking about an out-of-balanced way where you're just floating along because everyone else is. You know what I mean? But put you in another circumstance and you're, you know... You're Godzilla, you know. You're not, it all quickly disappears, right? Right? No, these are sons, and our Father's hand on us is to make us sons after the image of Christ, for us to be a house for the place of His honor, for the place of His authority, and for the place of His character, each individually and collectively, you know, as a family, as His body, as that temple. And so this guy, he just gets completely exposed, you know, for his true state. He's just completely laid bare before everyone, you know, before everyone. And this cry of alas, master, for it was borrowed, I think is a wonderful place to be, actually. You know, anything that we go through that gets us to face and to deal with the Lord where we're really at, is a good place to be. And a lot of times it takes things like this for not for God to see, and it's not about other people seeing, but for us to really understand where we're at in the Lord and to go to the Lord and seek the Lord and get dealt with by the Lord from that place, you know, from that real place. Because, man, I don't know how many times I thought I was just, you know, Paul Bunyan, you know, and there goes the accent, and it's like, you know, would to God that I was Johnny Appleseed here. I'm nothing, man. I got nothing. I'm nobody. You know, I don't have anything. You know, and you just like, but you get to the place where it's like, Lord, I need you. Alas, Master, it was borrowed. You know, I thought I was up here. Lord, really, I'm down here. But if this is where I am, then this is where I need to know where I'm at, and I need to seek you from here, and I need to just get on proper ground, you know? And it's in his grace that he brings us there, so this place that he is at is actually really good. I mean, it's a positive thing. It's not fun. It can hurt your pride if you have it, spiritual pride and stuff. It just completely obliterates it. You know? If you can have some left after one of these things, it's the devil. It's the devil in you. It's like Lucifer completely rejected by God and thrown out of heaven. He's still like the king of pride. You know? But it's good. You know? I mean, I think it's all right if we go to Jordan and get dealt with like this. I mean, isn't that kind of what Jordan's all about? You know, if it has to deal with the cross. Let's go to Jordan and build a house. I can't cut the tree down. I'm not. Oh, wait. No, this is the house being built, isn't it? This is what the house being built is all about. This is what it's not about, hey, we're all getting together and just sharing the Lord all the time, and I can feel the Spirit in it. It's just awesome. Yeah. Well, what about when the honeymoon ends? What about when the glorious season is over and people hate you and they're going to nail you to a cross? You know, I might be a little jaded from some experiences, but what about when the honeymoon's over and the people who were there for you, they're not, you know, as much as you feel like they should be? Not that they're not exactly to the way they should be in the Lord, but you know, it's like, well, we used to, and now we're, and you, all of a sudden you're just like, man, okay, Lord, I really need your life. Honeymoon was over, the glory season is gone, my axe head's in the water, and I got this tree here, you know. But I shouldn't have mixed those two up, meaning that in good times, we still need to really find the Lord and make sure we're not just floating along, we're not just having a good time in the Spirit, but that our hearts are really before the Lord to really know him and find him and for him to deal with us where we're really at and allow that cross to go in there to expose the tree, to expose the axe head wasn't really ours and it's in the bottom of the Jordan, right? Alas, Master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? Where did it fall? Now, in the real spirit of this verse, as the Lord poses this question, it's not because he doesn't know. I think he's trying to draw faith out of this guy. Where did it fall? Right? What's the real issue here? Is the real issue your tree still standing and you wish it wasn't so that you could be, you know, right on pace with all the other sons of the prophets? You know, is that the real issue? Is the real issue here how you look to them? You know, is the real issue even that it was borrowed? Where is it? What's really going on? What's really the situation? Where is it? And he showed him the place. He said, man, it is on the bottom of the Jordan, right? Sucker is buried. And unless something contrary to nature happens, it's never coming up. Right? Sucker, it is buried. It's out of sight. It's done. It is baptized into the Jordan. What's the real issue here? You know? What? Okay, the tree you're trying to cut down, the axe head that was borrowed, everything. What is the answer to all of this? It is, Lord, I'm dead with you. I'm dead with you, Lord. Now, he may have said these words here before. The context I'm sharing this is everyone's saying, let's go to Jordan. Everyone says, let's take up our beam. And now this guy, he's getting really dealt with by the Lord. Where is it? Let's hear your faith. You know, let's get you identifying with me in a real heart way. Now, you must come to a crisis over this, son. Where is it? What's the real issue here? What are you going to live by? Are you going to make it about how you look to the others, your tree, getting better, all this? Where is it? Well, it's in the bottom of the Jordan. That's the issue, Master. That's the issue. It's on the bottom of the Jordan. You know, that's my refuge now. When I look bad to others, Lord, I just go by faith into your death. Into your craw. The tree still stands before me. It's still bearing fruit. It's still rooted to the earth. Lord, I'm at the bottom of the Jordan. I'm dead in you. I'm hidden in you. The old man has been put away. I hide in that place. You know, this one, Lord, I'm not the one. I'm not supposed to be the one. It's about you and your name. I'm a failure. I failed. Apparently, I don't have this truth and this reality like I need it. All of it down into death. I identify with you in your death. And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick. And he cut down a stick and cast it in there. And the iron did swim. So he cut down a stick, and that word stick is actually tree in the Hebrew. He was like, well, I'm going to cut down a tree. I'm going to lay the axe to the root, and that old creation that is down in death, that is hopeless, that is never to come up, when I go down into the Jordan, what is completely impossible and contrary to nature happens. The axe head floats. Something dies, it's not supposed to rise again, right? An iron axe head should not float in the water, right? You know, shouldn't happen. He puts the stick in the water, and the axe head floats, and therefore he said, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. He's saying, now you show me where it is, now take it. Now lay hold on eternal life. Now lay hold of something that's impossible for you. You know, love your enemies. Lay hold of that floating axe head. You know, me loving my enemies is about as likely to happen as an axe head floating in the water. Lay hold of eternal life. You know, you've come to the crisis over this. I can't. I don't have it. You abide and you find your place and identification with Christ and his cross. Lord, I'm not the one. The real issue here is this thing is buried. That starts getting established in you. Now lay hold. Lay hold of the resurrection. Make that truth yours now. You've come to a crisis with the Lord over this, and you've worked it out, and you've gone on his grounds, and faith has come in your heart, and you found the cross of Jesus as your answer. You know, his death is your answer. Now he says, now take it unto you as yours. You know, take this axe head unto you as yours. And now that this truth is yours, now that it's not borrowed, now you go cut down that tree. You know, now you lay the axe to the root. But lay hold. Lay hold on eternal life. And so there you have the story of the floating axe head. You know, God really is our Father. He is just over everything in our lives. He's always working towards increase. He's always working towards bringing us in, you know, Christ growing in us and in our hearts' responses more, like these sons of the prophets were. And these times when our axe heads fly in the water, the trees standing before us, all these things can really just press us into Christ. That's what they're meant to do. I mean, that is the sole purpose of them, to work Christ in us. The hang-up is when we get caught on ourselves. That's the big snare, is when we get caught on ourselves. It was borrowed. It wasn't mine. This tree's been here for so long. It's never going to come up. I was foolish to think it could even be cut down. I'm never going to be part of what's happening, you know, and it's just eyes on ourselves, you know. But when he cries out to the master, he says, where is it? Get your eyes on the cross. Get your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes off yourself, your personal circumstance and situation in this. Make it about the cross. You make it about the cross. And he poses a question to him. You know, he doesn't just come and blind him with the reality of Christ. He says, you make it about the cross. Where is it? You know, take that stand and lay hold of eternal life. So, it's fun seeing that in the Word, and I hope I communicated it okay, and none of that matters. What matters is when we go through these things, we go through these circumstances, or face our trees and our axes that is flying off, that we stand in the Lord in these ways, you know, and it means so much to be established in the Lord, in your identification with Christ, not just for your sake, but like Mallory shared, for the family. Because that person had a part that they were to add to the what they were building there. I mean, he had a part. And he was needed, you know. And the spirit of the family would be for one of those prophets to come and be like, I know your situation you're in, man, but we need you. We need you to find the Lord in this. We need you to not get hung up on yourself. We need you to keep going. We love you, and there's compassion. We've all been there, you know. But we need your part. We all need each other's part. And as we find the Lord in this way, the benefits, not just to ourselves but to others, are tremendous. Tremendous. Let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you're so sovereign, Lord. You're so over us and in us and involved in our lives, Lord, that you take these certain circumstances and situations and our perceptions of how things are going and how we're doing, Lord, and you just bring it to reality. You bring it to the truth. You bring us to the cross, Lord. You're a master at it. We want you, Lord, and we join our hearts with these sons of the prophets here in this book. And Lord, we just say the place for you in our hearts and our lives in this church is too small, Lord. It's too small, Lord. We need a bigger place. We need a bigger place for you to live, for your name, Lord. We need a bigger place for your name. We need a more room in our hearts, individually and collectively, for you to be honored, Lord. For your authority to reign, Lord, and for your character to be expressed and to reside in our motives and thoughts and views and judgments and words and actions towards one another, Lord Jesus, and all that we do. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would, Lord, we're so easily caught on the snare of self. May you, by your Spirit, come lift up the cross, pose this question to us. What's the real issue here? What's the real answer here? And Lord, may faith arise in us, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We look to you to do this work, and our hearts are with you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.